All right. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, saying, What man soever there be of the house of Israel that killeth an ox or lamb or goat in the camp, or that killeth it out of the camp, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer an offering unto the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, blood shall be imputed unto that man. He hath shed blood, and that man shall be cut off from among his people. To the end that the children of Israel may bring their sacrifices which they offer in the open field, even that they may bring them unto the Lord, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, unto the priests, and offer them for peace offerings unto the Lord. And the priest shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar of the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and burn the fat for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils, after whom they have gone a-whoring. This shall be a statute forever unto them throughout their generations. And thou shalt say unto them, Whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers which sojourn among you, that offereth a burnt offering or sacrifice, and bringeth it not unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation to offer it unto the Lord, even that man shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, No soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, the chapter is divided into two sections. The first section speaks of how the people will worship God, and the second section speaks of how they will eat before the Lord. Now, we notice that in some instances in Old Testament worship, there was also a meal involved. Just like in the New Testament worship, there is a meal involved. We have the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is a sacramental meal. It's not a nourishing meal. It's a sacramental meal designed to teach us a spiritual truth. Well, the same thing was true with some of the offerings that the children of Israel offered. There was a meal aspect to it, where they sat before the Lord with the priest, the representative of the Lord, and they ate a meal together, signifying that God was at peace with them and received them. Okay, but there were other offerings that were not meal-oriented. They were simply the giving up of the animal, the cutting up of it for sin, for trespass, for a whole burnt offering, and so on. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that in this passage, the Lord is making a change to the ministry. He is changing the face of the church here by His own command. Some people pass by this passage and don't see the monumental change that it was. But it was a great big change. We remember the book of Job, the book of Genesis, where in those books there are family or household offerings being made in and around the house. Abraham moves to a particular place, sets up an altar, and offers an offering before the Lord. Jacob did the same thing. Isaac did the same thing. It didn't matter where they were. They simply put down their tent stakes, set up a pile of rocks, set it up so that a portion of it was flat, put an animal on it, cut the neck of that animal, and offered it as an offering before the Lord, wherever they were. Moses is telling them that at the command of the Lord, you can't do that anymore. No more can you do that. From now on, now that the tabernacle is set up, if you go out into the field and you offer an offering out in the field, the assumption will be that you're sacrificing to devils. That will be the assumption. Because God has said that you will bring your offerings here. And the priest will pour the blood out for you. You see what God is doing. He is teaching them. He is advancing the estate of the religion of the Jews such that now they will understand that there is only one place, there is only one altar, there is only one way to God, and there is a priesthood that leads them to God. You see how that all that centers upon Christ. It doesn't center upon the Old Testament priesthood. It centers upon Christ. God is advancing their religion. He is causing it to progress through time until Christ is revealed, and in this point He is simply readying them by particular precept so that when Christ comes, they will recognize what His ministry is, or should be. They should recognize it. And so here we have then this centering of the worship upon the tabernacle and by the hand of a priest. And if any man would ignore that, would ignore the commands of God and go out into the field and offer, then the assumption is that he is offering unto devils and not unto God. There's only one place in the Old Testament. We've recently studied it over the last 6 months, I guess. There's only one place in the Old Testament where it says that the people still sacrificed upon the high places only unto Yahweh. And that would be in the Reformation of Manasseh, son of Hezekiah. In all of the other places where it is mentioned that they were still worshiping on the high places, it never says that they sacrificed unto Yahweh. And up there on those high places that they were actually drawing those illicitly into the worship of Yahweh. It doesn't say that. It only says that with regard to Manasseh's reforms. So then we have all of those other times when it is lamented that the reforms of those particular kings, when they instituted a Passover, when they caused the people to covenant with God and so on, that there is this little aspect that was yet incomplete in their reformation, that the people still sacrificed on the high places. And that was seen as a weakness and as a sin. And then, of course, there were the days of Josiah and his traveling iconoclastic band. So then when they went from north to south, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, even though they had been long divided, we see Josiah all the way up in Dan, and he is tearing down those groves and those high places. He's tearing, and the only thing he leaves is that one gravesite. Whose grave is that? That's the grave of the prophet who prophesied you would come and do all of this. Oh, better leave him alone now. and everyone else was taken down. And the bones of those prophets who misled the people and taught them to sacrifice on those high places, those bones were dug up and ground to powder and scattered to the wind. Well, that's all because of the command of Leviticus chapter 17, where God said, if you will offer, you will come to my tabernacle and my priest will lay the blood of your sacrifices before me. God has that right, and He exercises that right. All right, so the second portion of the chapter speaks to Israel's huntsmen. Any of you that go out and find an animal to kill for food. And here's what I want you to understand, the Lord says. That when you kill an animal, you are letting out its life. And that itself is a sign of the curse. That's a sign of the curse. And so what you will do then, in recognition of that sign, that there are animals dying to feed you, in recognition of that, what you will do is you will drain the blood out of that animal, you'll pour it on the ground, and you'll cover it up with dirt. And that is in recognition of the fact that the killing of an animal is not the natural order of things, but that this is what God has given us in these days for food. And it witnesses to us that we are a fallen people and that death surrounds us. So pour the blood out and cover it up with dirt in testimony, as I said earlier, to that sermon of the blood. And if a man will not do that, if he will eat the meat with the blood in it, then his sin will be upon him unless he goes through those proper steps of cleansing. And so if they found an animal in the field that had died of itself, off the menu. If they found an animal in the field that was killed by another animal, off the menu. You say, people really eat that stuff? Oh, yeah, they do. Today. That's right. Yeah, if you've ever traveled in Africa, I have not, but I have good friends who have, on hunting trips and so on. And when you're out hunting, guess what you find? Other animals that have been hunted by other animals. And there are some people that will eat them and some people that won't. And that's right. Yeah. The Israelites would have been tempted, especially if it was, you know, a recent kill, to take that meat. But the Lord says, no, that is off limits because it has not been bled properly. You have not yet witnessed. And so in your eating, you will acknowledge my covenant, the Lord says. It's very interesting, isn't it, that Paul then, in when it's speaking of meat sacrificed to idols, which, by the way, was not drained according to Jewish principle. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, he would say what? Whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Is not the second half of Leviticus 17 the Old Testament witness to that same fact? It most certainly is. Thus ends the reading then, Leviticus 17. Let's stand and call.